Good day, and welcome to the Anik Financial Europe conference call. Today's call is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn things over to Chris Ross-Roberts. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Anik Financial Europe S.A. SICAV Rate quarterly investor presentation for the period ending the 30th of June 2019. As set out on page two of the presentation, Justin, Ed, and I will take you through the presentation, and then we'll open the line to the Q&A session at the end. In addition to the Q&A session, please remember you can send any questions through to info@anikfe.com or through the website at www.anikfe.com, where we'll endeavor to reply to them as soon as we can. Details can be found at the end of the presentation. Before I begin, can I please draw your attention to the disclaimer on page one of the presentation, which highlights that the presentation is produced solely for informational purposes and cautions against any forward-looking statements, and that by attending this call and reviewing the presentation, you're agreeing to the limitations set out on page one of the presentation. Turning to page three, the agenda, I'll start by giving a very quick overview of the financial highlights. Justin will then cover AFE credit highlights and recap on Anik capabilities before I return to a more in-depth presentation on the financials. Ed will cover the portfolio review before Justin summarizes, and we'll then open the line for any questions. Turning to page five, Anik Financial Europe financial highlights, continued momentum in H1 2019. Anik Financial Europe has had a positive start to the year, with gross collections up 10.5% on prior year at 61 million for the period. This is ahead of the forecast. As a reminder, collections growth will lag revenue growth as deployment in 2018 was in 100% secured portfolios, which have a time lag before collections ramp up. Whereas revenue, under the effective interest rate methodology, we recognize revenue from the date of acquisition of the portfolio. Revenue, therefore, is up higher than collections at 16.9%, driven by the significant deployment in 2018, which took place predominantly on the last day of June 2018 and in Q3 and Q4. The rate of revenue growth will therefore drop off in the second half as the prior period comparatives will have the benefit of the 2018 deployment already reflected within the prior year numbers. We've reduced deployment targets this current financial year to circa 75 million, as we reduced our net debt to EBITDA leverage ratio target for the year, which I'll come on to later in the presentation. As previously guided, you'll notice an uptick in the operating cost ratio in the period from 25.9% to 27.9%. The key driver of this being the deployment in 2018 results in an uplift in cost in the short term, as we presented in the full year results presentation. The uplift in operating cost is, however, lower than anticipated, as we have seen more accelerated collections through amicable and non-legal term channels than anticipated at the time of underwriting. We do, however, expect the operating cost ratio to increase marginally during the second half of 2009 before decreasing again in 2020. Although I know I have said this before, it is worth noting that the operating cost ratio, as we refer to, is a total operating cost, excluding non-recurring items, rather than a cost-to-collect ratio, and therefore includes all overheads of the business. Our overhead structure is predominantly variable and relative to the value of portfolios held in the business. Our relatively low overheads, driven by the use of our digital platform Minerva and its variable nature, results in an overall higher margin. In summary, AFE's total operating costs remain market-leading. Adjusted EBITDA for the period and LTM adjusted EBITDA for the period has increased by 7.3% and 7.6% respectively to 41.8 million and 99.9 million euros, demonstrating strong momentum in the financial performance of the business. Leverage has also reduced from 3.8 times to 5.3 times. I'll now hand over to Justin, who will give an overview of AFE credit strength and Anik capabilities. Justin.
Thanks, Chris. I wanted to take the time to briefly remind new and existing bondholders of who we are, as we have continued to develop substantially since our inaugural bond issuance in July of 2017. AnaCap Financial Europe is an investment platform focused on purchasing NPLs across core, well-established geographies for AnaCap. AIFE continues to benefit from AnaCap's broad-based network, large team, internal competencies, proprietary data and platform, which I will outline in more detail across the next few slides. Starting here on slide 7, it is AnaCap's well-established expertise as a financial services specialist, where we have been an early mover into new geographies and asset types as they open up for NPL investing over the past almost 10 years. This affords us not only experience, but also enormous credibility with sellers, advisors, and regulators across Europe, stemming from investments in AIFE, as well as more broadly, across our credit opportunities in private equity funds. In the first half of 2019 alone, we've reviewed, which includes at least a preliminary valuation, over 1 billion euros in potential invested capital. Yet, we do not need to chase growth. We truly believe one of our strengths remains disciplined deployment, with only one portfolio purchase year to date, but three others on track to close in Q3 across core geographies of Spain and Portugal, one of which is entirely proprietary, two are repeat transactions with known sellers in limited competition, and another, a deal that only came back to us after other competition fell away. How do we do this? One is with a large investment team and a sophisticated asset management platform relative to the scale of capital we do deploy, and two is down to the fact that we maintain a predominantly variable cost structure with a panel-based master servicing approach that does not force us to invest in particular geographies at a point in time. Turning to slide 8, to recap on AnaCap more broadly, A forms part of over 5 billion euros of capital we have raised across our various private equity and credit funds, where AIFE continues to co-invest alongside our credit opportunities funds on NPL portfolios, allowing us to scale a relatively small AIFE deployment budget over more transactions, achieving greater diversification as a result. Both our credit and private equity funds, while specialized, invest in a wider range of opportunities, broadening our reach, intel, and credentials across Europe. In our highly complementary private equity strategy, we remain a financial services specialist with an equally pioneering track record in both banking, where we were the first investor to be approved for a control stake in a UK deposit-taking institution in Altimore Bank, and in digitally enabled financial services companies more broadly. We have gone on to acquire a total of 6 EU-regulated banks amongst over 80 investments since inception, including almost 21 billion euros face value of credit assets. And today, we number a total of 77 full-time professionals and growing. Turning to slide 9, I myself joined AnaCap right after inception in early 2006 before launching our credit investment strategy in 2009, and I'm among 6 partners at AnaCap who have each worked together an average of more than 11 years. We have invested across a total of 15 European geographies, with our NPL investment efforts remaining focused on core geographies, including Italy, Spain, and Portugal, where AIFE owns servicing affiliates. Our business development in other markets where AIFE has invested, such as Poland and Romania, has been helped considerably by a broader institutional focus on those geographies from our private equity funds as well. Critical to tying all of this together, including our origination, pricing, and asset management capabilities in particular, remains Minerva, our proprietary digital intelligence platform, which has also been under continued development since soon after AnaCap was established. Today, given the significant growth in the scale of our data, we now have a dedicated team of database analysts supporting Minerva from India as well. Turning to slide 10, here we simply chart the steady and disciplined deployment of capital across all of our private equity and credit funds, including AIFE, since inception in 2006, highlighting some key milestones, most of which I've already mentioned today, where, as you will see, credit, banking, and digitally enabled financial services runs throughout our DNA. Turning to slide 11, this provides an overview of how we scale our operations to service assets across our core geographies. This approach has also been refined over nearly 10 years, where today we have worked with more than 30 servicing partners across Europe, tailored to geography and asset type requirements. We have 16 professionals based in London focused on our credit investments, and servicing affiliates owned by AIF in each of AIF's largest geographies of Italy, Spain, and now Portugal, conducting both master servicing / panel oversight, as well as direct servicing on segments of the portfolio. However, even where we have direct servicing capabilities locally, we believe strongly in the panel-based approach to ensure best-in-class focus for specific servicing requirements, as well as the discipline of being able to benchmark performance across providers. In total, across our servicing panel, where we have built direct data feeds to flow into our Minerva platform, capturing granular data to inform ongoing asset management and pricing of new potential investments, we also now have over 250 full-time employees dedicated to AnaCap portfolios. Turning to slide 12, here we summarize key recent developments across our asset management platform overall, which include embedding a real estate secured direct servicing team in Gallatin, Spain, managing a portion of our residential mortgage NPLs, the completion of a significant systems replatforming in Phoenix Asset Management in Italy to enable both better workflow management as well as data mining, plus the opening of Phoenix's Milan office and expansion of its dedicated internal real estate team to support the valuation and optimal sale of real estate collateral. Regulatory approval for AIF's own local Portuguese securitization company. And finally, we are continuing to substantially develop our Minerva platform, as well as the analytics and database management team in both London and India to support it. I would now like to turn it back over to Chris for a detailed review of AIF's recent financial performance.
Thank you, Justin. If we can turn to page 14, financial summary, high margin operating platform. As you'll heard from Justin, our discipline around deployment, together with a market-leading, predominantly variable cost base, has enabled us to continue to drive momentum in the business and deliver a strong set of results, with a profit after tax margin of 24.9%. Operating profit is up 32.2% to 22.6 million, a cash margin on gross collections of 37%. Our master servicing model and the predominantly secured nature of our book with larger average balance sizes allows the company to operate very efficiently with a lower than market average total operating cost, the total cost to collect being under 20%. As you can see on the page, 88% of our cost base is variable in nature and driven either by collections activity or net asset value. Fixed costs are minimal and cover the cost of the holding company and any SPV costs that hold assets directly. Our total operating costs at 27.9% of gross collections or cash revenue, excluding non-recurring costs, are significantly below peers, which we believe to be in the range of between 35 to 55% based off 2018 reported numbers. Turning to page 15, year to date, gross attributable collections 8.2% ahead of forecast, driven by asset outperformance and accelerated recoveries. Given the nature of our secure portfolio with some larger average balances, we always anticipate some volatility over the timing of sale of collateral assets. Ed will give you some color on balance distribution later on in the presentation. But as a reminder, each half year we undertake a full line-by-line review of the portfolio together with our services and asset managers to assess both the value of the underlying collateral, and also update estimates on the time of collections within the ARC. You'll note from the graphs on page 15 that we exceeded our forecast made in December 18 for Q1 2019 by 12.7% and Q2 by 4%. It's been pleasing to note that part of the outperformance has been driven by higher than expected asset values being achieved, accounting for around 80% of the overperformance. Given the nature of the secured book, it can be difficult to predict within a short time exactly when an asset may be realized. With the overall picture, there are a number of accelerations and delays that are overall net positive. The 2018 vintage has got off to a very strong start and is performing ahead of expectations. However, our accounting policy is not to recognize any uplift in a vintage until all of the vintage is at least 12 months old and has been through at least two revaluation cycles. Conversely, any underperformance is recognized straight away. Turning to page 16, gross attributable collections year to date, actuals and 84-month forecast by year, 2018 deployment embeds growth in cash generation out to 2020. The graph on page 16 splits out ERC by year and includes actual collections of $59 million in the first half of 2019. You'll note from the profile that given recent purchases and the expected timing of collections, that the business has embedded growth in cash flow from its current back book out to 2020, a key lead indicator for adjusted EBITDA growth without any further deployment. Given our predominantly variable cost structure and the fact that third-party costs tend to be incurred in advance of collections, this graph should be a useful guide to estimating the pattern of adjusted EBITDA from currently owned assets. The second half of the year has historically delivered stronger collections, particularly in the last quarter. This year, we expect 55% of collections from existing assets in H2. Last year, H2 collections amounted to 59% of the full-year collections. You may note that some collections that were originally expected in 2020 are now forecast for the second half of 2019. Turning to page 17. Gross money multiple trends. Selective focus on secured assets with high cash flow visibility underpinned by significant collateral. The graphs below set out by vintage, the gross attributable collections on all portfolios currently owned by AFE. The dark blue bar shows actual gross attributable collections to 30th of June 2019, and the gold bar represents 84-month ERC, giving the resultant gross money multiple, together with the purchase price and the percentage secured. You'll note in the last 3 years, we've focused predominantly on secure portfolios that have a lower cost to collect percentage, where the non-performing loan is backed by some underlying collateral with a larger average balance, and where we believe we can drive overall better value, and better profitability and returns through our in-depth knowledge and understanding of the secured market across a wide range of geographies. Please note that all numbers are 84-month ERC, not 120-month ERC, which is commonly used in the sector. Turning to page 18, positive key debt metrics and proactive optimization of capital structure. The last 12 months adjusted EBITDA at $99.9 million is up 64% since March 2017, the time that we issued the offer memorandum for the first bond. Leverage at the 30th of June is 3.53 times, ahead of market guidance and our expectation, driven by stronger than expected LTM adjusted EBITDA. Both the LTV ratio and the super senior revolving credit facility ratio are well within covenant levels, at 64.2% and 2.2% respectively. As previously discussed, we had expected leverage to increase towards the end of 2019 to above 4.75 times before rapidly declining in 2020, driven by our existing asset base and expected timings of collections and costs. We have, however, now trimmed our deployment target for 2019 to circa $75 million. Previously, it was $125 million. And therefore expect a modest increase in net debt to adjusted EBITDA to around 4 at the year end, as we anticipate to deploy some capital in H2 in advance of collections. We've set a leverage target of 3 to 3.5 for 2020, and as you'll see from our forecast collections of existing assets on page 16, we anticipate an 18% increase in collections prior to any deployment in the second half. We have sufficient liquidity to meet our current year deployment targets. During the quarter ended the 30th of June 2019, AFB was successful in purchasing bonds with a nominal value of $17.5 million for an average price of $88, realizing a net gain of $1.7 million. On purchase, the bonds were cancelled with immediate effect. We continue to constantly review our capital structure and liquidity position. We'll look to optimize this over time. Depending on market conditions and our operating results, this could include open market repurchases of securities, amongst other strategies. Turning to page 19, proven ability to delever, leverage at 3.5 times is lower than market guidance. You'll note from the graph on the top of the page that since March 2017, the group leverage fell from 4.6 times to 2.68 times at March 18. During that period, we deployed relatively modest capital of around 25 million euros. Following deployment of 131 million euros during Q2 and Q3 2018, leverage increased to 4.04 times as at September 18. This is of course, a static snapshot at a point of time and reflects the fact that debt has been incurred at the quarter's end and that given the collections profile of the secured books purchased, collections will follow in the future years and therefore adjusted EBITDA will lag deployment by some time as reflected in our ERC profile as set out on page 16. We've deployed a further 38 million since Q3 18 and leverage has dropped to 3.53 times as adjusted EBITDA has grown following deployment of the 2018 vintage. We are confident that leverage will decline significantly in 2020 after increasing moderately towards the year end following anticipated deployment in the second half of 2019. We are confident as the required increase in collections to deliver a lower net debt to adjusted EBITDA ratio is already embedded in existing assets. We are therefore able to demonstrate leverage does reduce after a period of deployment and at the same time show that adjusted EBITDA has grown 64% since March 17, the time of the bond launch. I'll now hand over to Ed for the AFB portfolio review.
Thank you, Chris. In this section, I will cover our track record in key markets and provide more granularity on our asset base, including balance distribution, top position, and underlying collateral analysis. Page 21 outlines our track record of deployment and current ERC by geography. AFE has a long-established track record in the markets in which we operate. Market entry into Italy, Spain, and Portugal in the UK dates back over 7 years, and Romania, 5 years. And through a consistent underwriting and asset management approach, underpinned by our proprietary digital intelligence platform, Minerva, we have achieved consistent gross money multiples across geographies, with a projected gross money multiple in the UK reflecting our investment into a performing portfolio. Poland now represents 7% of our ERC, following the deployment of 21 million in 2018. Incremental diversification into a geography where Anacap has been active for a number of years through its private equity investment in Nestbank. Following successful onboarding, early performance in Poland continues to be robust. In addition to geographic diversification, AFE is highly diversified by balance size. Turning over to slide 22, you'll see an updated view of our portfolio's distribution by balance bands. The dark blue bars chart the distribution of account volume, i.e. number of accounts. The beige bars represent the distribution of account value, i.e. account balances. And the light blue bars represent the proportion of ERC that sits within each of those balance bands. The majority of our account volume is located within smaller sub-10K balance bands. The majority of our account value sits within higher balance bandings, reflecting the significantly secured nature of our book. And our ERC, the light blue line, is distributed distributed across a range of different balance standings, with a clustering of ERC from accounts ranging between 50 and 250K, reflecting our focus on granular secured assets. Moving on to slide 23, I'll now focus on the far right-hand side of this chart and provide an update on the proportion of our ERC that's constituted by our largest positions. On slide 23, there are two charts. The first chart measures the split of our top 50 accounts by geography. The second chart on the right-hand side measures the value of ERC from our top 50 that falls into each year of our projections. Our largest 50 positions constitute 12% of our ERC, a relatively even split by geography in line with our ERC, and a relatively even split over the next 3.5 years. And as per all our secured assets, our approach to ERC expectation is driven by in-depth review of collateral value, with additional operational focus overseen by central asset management resources to reflect their size, along with targeted support from local subsidiaries. And finally, picking up on the theme of collateral values and looking at how collateral values compare to our overall ERC expectations across the entire portfolio, you'll see on slide 24 an update of our 550 million 84-month ERC into its underlying security type. Of our 550 million ERC, 387 million is constituted by secured positions, underwritten with reference to underlying collateral value. 30 million is sales proceeds from underlying security, currently in the court distribution process, and the residual 133 million is unsecured. As of today, 76% of our ERC is secured by hard assets, in line with the year-end December 2018 position, reflecting our significant focus on secured assets. Our secured ERC is backed by significant collateralization. The underlying assets that back our 387 million of ERC have a market value of 670 million. The differential between these two values is the headroom that we incorporate into our underwriting or ongoing reforecasting that gives us flexibility and agility in terms of our overall resolution path. So in summary, ACE portfolio remains highly diversified by geography, balance size and security type, and highly collateralized, with the overall ERC of 550 million underpinned by over 700 million of hard security. I will now hand over to Justin for concluding remarks.
Thanks, Ed. You've already heard a lot from me today, but in summary on slide 26, ACE demonstrated strong continued financial performance with H1 gross attributable collections 8.2% ahead of forecast at 59.4 million euros, delivering 41.8 million of adjusted EBITDA. We're maintaining an industry-leading total cost operating ratio of 27.9%, driven by a predominantly variable cost structure. ACE continuing to leverage Anacap's broad-based network, extensive track record, and expertise in origination, underwriting, and servicing, developed across Europe since 2005. Our efficient, nimble platform helps ensure ACE maintains pricing discipline and selective deployment, with only one new portfolio purchase so far in 2019, but three more to complete in Q3. Embedded growth in portfolio collections includes strong early performance from significant purchases in 2018. And finally, ACE demonstrated a proven ability to delever as collections from new purchases ramp up, with net debt to last 12-month adjusted EBITDA of just 3.53 times versus 3.88 at the end of H1 last year. I think at this point, we'll turn it over to questions.
Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star then one on your telephone keypad. Please note that if you're on a speakerphone, to please pick up the handset or depress your mute function to allow that signal to reach our system. Again, that is star one if you'd like to ask a question, and we'll pause for a moment to allow everyone the opportunity to signal. And again, that is star one if you'd like to ask a question. And it appears that we had no phone questions.
Okay, if there are no questions, thank you very much for attending, and we will talk to you at the next quarter's results. Thank you.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude today's call. We thank you again for your participation. You may now disconnect.